Will the Japan 2020 Olympics be postponed or canceled? A lot of people are asking that question this week. Lots of dreams could be dashed if they aren't held. As in years past, the Olympic Games will be followed by 2 weeks after by the Paralympics, the Games for athletes with disabilities. This year's Paralympics is scheduled for August 25th to September 6th. Kaleo Kanahele-McClay is a setter for Team USA's sitting volleyball team. She's only 24 years old, but already has 2 medals from the Paralympic Games, including gold in 2016. Born with a club foot, the native Hawaiian has played both standing and sitting volleyball competitively. She spoke with The Conversation's Jason Ubai from her home in Oklahoma, and she explained the main differences between the two versions of the game.
Sitting volleyball is basically an adaptive sport. So for people with physical disabilities, so personally I was born with club foot, which actually runs in my family. But so sitting volleyball is we are all on the ground. We have same movements. We run plays. We just do it from our bottoms and our hands, and we move around like that. But the big differences between sitting volleyball and standing volleyball is the net is shorter and the court is shorter. So it's all just brought down to a condensed version of the standing court that everyone's pretty familiar with. And so with that, we have so the calls that would be basically on your feet in the standing game, so the line calls are on your butt. And then with the net being shorter, we can also block a serve. So those are really like the big differences between sitting volleyball and standing volleyball. And sitting volleyball has come a long way, and we really run it like you would play standing volleyball. So I'm the setter, and we run a 5-1. So we have 6 people on the court, but 1 setter, and then basically 5 hitters or libero. And other than that, it really runs like the standing game.
The speed, though, it seems a lot faster because it's a same-size ball, and you're just kind of on a smaller court.
Yeah, so since the distance is shorter of where the ball is going, so from the pass to the set to the swing, it all goes so much faster. So for us, a point could last up to a minute would be going over the net at least like 5 or 6 times. So the game is just sped up compared to the standing game, which makes it more intense, quicker reaction times, quicker blocking times. So really the game is just sped up so quick. And there for a while I was playing both. So I was able to feel the difference in playing sitting and standing.
If you could tell me about yourself, I know you said you were born with a club foot, and you've played both, but if you could tell me a bit about your background and then how you got into sitting volleyball.
My family's from Hawaii, but we moved to Oklahoma when I was very young. And so I really grew up in Oklahoma, and a lot of my cousins had club feet, but really I didn't know anyone with a club foot other than family in Hawaii. And so growing up in Oklahoma, this is actually where the sitting volleyball teams came whenever our coach Bill Hammeter took over. So I was playing standing volleyball. I started playing standing volleyball at 10. And during that time, I was really having to adapt to the standing game and being able to jump, basically missing a calf muscle. And so that just brought challenges. So the club I played for, Bill Hammeter, was one of the coaches for Oklahoma Peak Performance, which was the standing club I played for at the time. And he knew of my disability. He knew I had club foot and what my limitations were in standing volleyball. And then he introduced me to sitting volleyball. So I actually started on the sitting team when I was 12. So I started playing volleyball when I was 10, started playing sitting volleyball when I was 12, went to a camp, went to tournaments, went to China, and then made the London 2012 roster. So, yeah, it's been a long time of training, but it was really fun, and I started playing sitting volleyball when I was 12, so I was in middle school. So I still played club all the way through high school, played for my high school team. We won state and really had to balance playing sitting volleyball and being a Paralympian as well as being a teenager and playing club and for my school.
So how old were you when you went, when you made the Paralympic team for London?
When I made the London Paralympic team, I was 16. And then whenever I was in Rio, I was 20.
Can you tell me more about that? How was that experience?
Yeah, in London, I was 16, so I was really young and had kind of trained hard, but more of just enjoyed the sport and learning volleyball in a different way. So I wasn't a starter at the time. I was actually extremely surprised that I made the roster to go to London. So I was really at the time just a practice player, and learning my role on the team was the cheerleader from the bench. So I was able to go to London and have this larger-than-life experience going to opening ceremonies, being around other Paralympic athletes and other people that I've looked up to my whole life. And then on our play, we ended up with a silver medal, but in the gold medal match, I actually got to play, which was at the time very crazy to me. So I played the last 5 points, which we lost against China, and we had lost against China, our team, since the Paralympics began and sitting volleyball began for women. So we lost to China in the finals, and we got a silver medal, which was incredible at the time, but we had always wanted this gold medal was our dream, obviously. And so after that tournament, I really decided I was going to give everything that I could to this sport to train for that gold medal and to be the athlete that I wanted to be, and not necessarily just this practice player who was just happy to be there, but I wanted to help my team get a gold medal. So really the next 4 years were me practicing every day, going to school, going to practice, and training for that gold medal. So whenever Rio came around, I, rather than just going in and being excited just to be there, I went in with a full mission, a mission to beat, to do it as a team, but to beat China in the finals, because that's what we knew was going to happen. So we actually ended up losing to China in pool play, and so we had quite a few practices during the tournament, and then ended up beating China in the finals and won our first gold medal.
So vindication, at least got to win when it mattered. So what is your mindset for the 2020 Tokyo Olympics?
From going from London or from London to Rio, we were, we called it chasing the giant, chasing China, trying to beat this team. And from London or from Rio to Tokyo, now we are that giant. We are the team that everyone else is trying to beat. So our mindset these past 4 years has really been to be the bar, to raise the bar even, to be the team that everyone wants to beat, but not stay where we were, but become better and a more efficient, well-rounded, put-together team. So in Tokyo, no one will be able to hang with us. So that's really our goal. There has been so much training and time put in, not just on the court, but off the court as well. I think it's one thing to just win a gold medal, and then it's another thing to win a gold medal as a cohesive unit, which is what we're preparing for.
With the coronavirus in the news right now, how is that affecting your training, or is that on your mind as we get closer to the games?
Coronavirus has been a big concern, and we actually get weekly updates as to what the USOPC, which is the Olympic and Paralympic Committee, and their understanding and what the doctors are saying and all of the information that they really have to give us. Because of the coronavirus, we had a tournament that was scheduled to be in China, now moved to Egypt, and will now be potentially canceled. So for us, it's hard as of now because these are big tournaments that we want to be a part of and will help us getting ready for Tokyo. But also, we're thankful that everyone's being sensitive to this disease that could potentially affect us all. So I think I'm thankful that our government and our team is looking out for us and just hoping that it goes away or disperses by Tokyo.
I want to go back. You've lived here in Hawaii before?
Yeah, my husband Duke and I actually lived in Hawaii for about a year.
Okay.
This past year. So we moved to Hawaii because we felt honestly led to a church in Hawaii, and we loved it, and it was incredible, Inspired Church, and we were really excited to move. I, being Native Hawaiian, had always wanted to live in Hawaii because I felt a leading there. I felt like that's where I wish I would have grown up even, but it was just incredible to be a part of the culture, and I, living in Hawaii, we have like halaus and people that we've been involved with who are Hawaiian, but I never was able to live there. So really being able to live in Hawaii, be there, train, be around the people, being around my family was really cool and a great experience. Our leading to move back was my mom, and she got sick. So we wanted to come back to be here with her, as well as training with the team to prepare for Tokyo.
Tokyo coming up, that'll be your third Paralympic Games. How did you see yourself playing in? I mean, you already got three and you're under 25, so how many do you think you can play in your career?
I really don't know. I, now having a son, I want more kids, so a lot of it's going to be around that and learning how to manage all these different aspects of life. But yeah, Paris, I would love to go to Paris or stay for L.A. You know, it's hard to plan that far away, but I'm excited to go to Tokyo and then just see what happens after that.
And that was Kaleo Kanahele McClay, setter for Team USA's sitting volleyball team. Tomorrow we take a look at the prospects for Olympic beach volleyball as we close out the week.